he's created a cult of personality. So now people don't even believe that Joe Biden is president. The numbers are really actually frightening. 36% in a Washington Post poll don't believe that Joe Biden is even the president of the United States. And we're seeing this kind of disinformation really ratcheted up. It was ratcheted up in 2016. It's how he became president. The first time Russia got involved and did it. We're now seeing AI used. What is the risk of disinformation in the upcoming election?
Oh, I think it's enormous, Joy. I think, you know, we've seen these tactics of authoritarians for decades with, you know, repetition and conspiracy theories and big lies and other things. But Donald Trump has something at his disposal that Hitler and Mussolini didn't have, and that's social media, mm-hmm. Truth Social, artificial intelligence. And so I think we are going to be bombarded with all kinds of false claims. You know, the normalizing of violence by talking about bloodbaths, revisionist history by talking about January 6 attackers as hostages, and I worry about even other things. You know, one of the strategies of the corrupt is not to exonerate themselves from their corruption, but to portray everyone else in the system right. as corrupt. And I fear that's what we're going to see is all kinds of smear campaigns against Joe Biden so that you can say, well, look, everybody's corrupt. So you might as well pick the one who shares your worldview, because if everybody's corrupt, then corruption doesn't matter.
The thing they do best is cheating at elections and misinformation, like the word bloodbath, which they've used 100 times over the last year about describing things. And I used it about trade, essentially auto trade, because we're getting ripped off with Biden's really dumb auto policy. I tell you what, if any auto worker, United Auto Worker or other, if any auto worker voted against Trump, they are not the smartest people.
The Biden campaign, for its part, continues to, by the way, not the smartest people.
No.
You talk about stripping words out of their proper context.
Yeah.
The word is used in a lot of different ways. But when you say there will be a bloodbath, and that was, as we said yesterday, related to the auto industry. But then he goes, and that'll be the least of it. Then he goes, and then for all of America, and that will be the least of it.
I mean,
for a guy who trades in violent rhetoric, for a guy that took something that he claims was for the auto industry and then generalized it for the rest of America. Again, I guess if that works for people and they want to pretend that everybody is so stupid they can't figure it out, that's fine. I mean, of course, Drudge, we're looking at Drudge headlines. I think
here's another way you could use the word.
I think Drudge is going to use the word every day for the next month or two.
And this madman, whose brain is clearly addled and little more than a ball of smooth clay at this stage of its deterioration, makes these promises to feed chum to a base that has been drilled by right-wing media to now care more about stopping migrants, even if they themselves live thousands of miles from the southern border, than about the economy or inflation or literally anything else, according to Gallup. We are literally becoming hungry. And to continue to entertain his superfans and keep their blood pressure sufficiently high that they'll run to the polls on the single day of voting that he has decreed in November. Trump has added to his previous Nazisms about vermin and poisoning the blood of the country, the idea that black and brown migrants are not even people.
I would do the same thing if I had prisons that were teeming with MS-13 and all sorts of people that they've got to take care of for the next 50 years, right? Young people, they're in jail for years. And if you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. These are bad. These are animals.
And Republicans in Washington have literally nothing to say about all of this other than to defend his violent rhetoric, like Polly Pocket Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who not only said about legitimizing the authoritarian demagogue, also known as his boss, he repeated the language. So it's now down to Mike Pence, of all people, who Trump tried to get hanged by his paunch-bellied thug army on January 6, 2021, to have the guts to say that he won't support him. Pence, along with 4 dozen of Trump's former cabinet members, plus Liz Cheney and the Never Trump Republicans, are trying to tell you not to let this man anywhere near the Oval Office again. And they would know because they actually know him. And this madman, Donald Trump, seems to view threatening civil war as the backup plan to avoiding prison if he loses to Joe Biden again.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies.
because we're going medieval on these people.
Houston's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Tuesday, 19 March, year of our Lord 2024. You've seen the, we play for you every morning, at least a couple of clips of it, so you can understand the irrationality of our opponents. They don't even set out to try to make logical arguments about what President Trump's talking about on things like invasion of the southern border, things like this massive overspending that's in these rabbits they chase, like electric vehicles that cause another debacle that's, you know, underwritten by taxpayers. When he talks about, you know, what needs to be done to bring peace to the Eurasian landmass and to make sure their enemies are not on the march. Any of that, all you get is not, you get show after show after show on, you know, he's deranged, he's a devil, all of it. You see the irrational nature of it. One of the things driving that, and these are the two articles that were over the weekend, I think on The Hill and Politico. One was about how they understand they can't put the coalition together. First off, they're panicked. They know they'll never be able to show 81 million votes again. The election in 2020 was stolen. That's a fact. And they're panicked that they're going to be humiliated or exposed because Biden's not going to come anywhere close to that. They talk about this, oh, they're having a tough time putting together the coalition. The other is how Biden is getting angry and nasty and yelling at people and blaming it on other people of why this is not coming together. The polling's awful. Up on Getter, I just have one story from The Hill. I could have put a dozen up, and this just singled out Georgia, where the polling on a array of pollings going down 5-8, and I think the average is 5.3%. The average is 5.3%. But even more importantly, they're panicked because there's no enthusiasm. No enthusiasm whatsoever for Biden. The primary numbers, I think, were just over 200,000. They can't put together, they can't inspire. And this is the home of Fani Willis, where that trial is taking place, or supposed to take place, the embarrassment of Fani Willis. They have literally no support, no enthusiasm. So they're in complete, total panic mode right now. So this is why they're striking out. And the language is getting more violent, more heated, more irrational, and that's going to continue. It's going to continue through Election Day. It's going to get even worse after they're defeated and humiliated and exposed throughout the entire country. And then it's going to ratchet up like you've never seen before, because then you're going to go to actually to start to adjudicate and start to get into the files, get into the records, start to go into J6, start to go on how the election was stolen. And then it's Katie bar the door. This is going to be like, I keep saying, every day is going to be like the Battle of Stalingrad. And you're seeing it right here. That's why we curate this down to a couple of minutes. You could play hours of this, and that is all that the left is getting on CNN and particularly MSNBC, which is untethered. In addition, I want to send everybody over to Citizens Free Press overnight. Kane just did an amazing job in his stack of laying out everything that Judge Cannon did in Florida. She put out a ruling last night about how to get this organized, how to get the trial organized. And they're in total complete meltdown because now they've come to the conclusion that that trial probably not going to take place until after Election Day. So all the lawfare is collapsing all around them. At the same time, they're cooking up plots. Remember, they haven't lifted one finger, have not done one thing, not one thing, to stop the invasion of the southern border. In fact, all they're doing and all they're working on is efforts to exacerbate that. And you have to ask yourself why. Because it's very organized. It's not disorganized at all. It's not chaos as far as their plan to bring in 10, 12, 14, 15 million illegal alien invaders on just his watch in his first and only term. Now the new one's Haiti. You've seen overnight the mainstream media, BBC, CNN, about the collapse of Haiti. Oh, poor Haiti. What are we going to do? Matt Gaetz has called for Navy combatants to actually be down outside of Haiti, between Florida and Haiti, and turning the flotillas back to go, return to Haiti, not having a Coast Guard escorts bring them in. Of course, a huge day yesterday at the Supreme Court for really, quite frankly, didn't seem terribly enthusiastic about shutting down government censorship, particularly wasn't just vaccines. The implication there was also those people that stood up and said, hey, guess what? The 2020 election was stolen. And one of those, Peter Navarro, is actually going to enter prison today. We'll cover that live in the second hour of this. But Todd, the other Supreme Court, you got to help us out here, brother. What is going on between the Supreme Court and the state of Texas? Why can't a state try to defend itself and defend its borders from what is clearly an invasion that the federal government is exacerbating, sir?
Well, just remember, this is not the Supreme Court did not weigh in on the merits of the law. They're just saying we need more time, basically. So they've put it off just a little bit longer while the legal arguments kind of gestate. So there's still an opportunity. There's still a chance that. But I mean, at the root of this is whether a state has the authority to take into custody foreign nationals for illegally crossing the international frontier. Obviously, the Biden administration is saying, well, yeah, that's strictly a federal issue. And Abbott has been, you know, pushing the boundaries as far as he can. He's declared an invasion. He, you know, has come right up to the edge of rounding them up, and you know, but doesn't really ever push it to deportations because of this legal issue right here. So I think that it's still up in the air, but it's just delayed a little bit.
This law is specifically about not just putting the barbed wire up and trying to stop it. Isn't it also have that law enforcement officials can actually start to arrest and deport, send back across the Rio Grande River those that they deem or they find out or they conclude are illegal alien invaders?
Yes, and essentially it's also, you know, Texas is claiming the authority to charge people for illegal entry, which is there's a federal misdemeanor. It's a B. If you know, you get up to six months in prison on a first offense, and it grows up to 5 years in prison if you keep crossing subsequent to that. So Texas is basically trying to usurp or, you know, also be able to do that because the Biden administration really is doing very, very minimal numbers of prosecutions for illegal entry. So essentially the state's saying, well, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it. And that's sort of one of the big issues there. There are other issues about a state deporting that aren't really on the litigation table here. For example, you know, how does Texas bring a group of illegal immigrants that it apprehended back to Mexico if the Biden administration controls the bridge and the Mexicans, the first part of the bridge and the other half of the bridge is controlled by the Mexicans? And what if neither one of them wants to accept your transport over the bridge, right? So then, you know, what do you do then? Those are kind of practical logistical issues that aren't really addressed in any of this, but still, I mean, those are real issues.
Hang on for a second, Todd, because we're going to drill down on this and Haiti more. What Abbott's trying to do, and particularly Attorney General Ken Paxton, to stand up for the citizens of Texas, also for the United States of America, and they're being fought every inch of the way by the federal courts and the Biden regime. This is why anything Biden says at all to the electorate about what they're trying to do to solve the situation on the border is a bald-faced lie, and that's just ought to be hammered time and time and time again. Birchgold.com, in times of turbulence, everyone turns to precious metals. This is a time of turbulence, and it's only going to get more turbulent. This is why gold every couple of days hits records. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check it out today. Philip Patrick. Short break. Back in the warming minute.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
So the turbulence is going to continue. Grace, I think if you can pull off Getter and get to Cameron and the team in Denver, there's a bunch of tweets out from the Biden regime, from Mitch McConnell now, and others talking about they've worked through their issues on the budget, and they're going to start presenting it here. Remember, the government shutdown thing starts at midnight of the 22nd. Bob Good in the House Freedom Caucus sent out a blistering letter yesterday. They're trying to galvanize the majority to not let this thing come to the fore. So it should be a big fight in front of us. Todd, just to your knowledge, right, because what I'm hearing, you got the Pelosi budget plus and all of the, of the woke and weaponized issues dealing with the border are all in this budget. Nothing significant been removed and nothing's been put in place like remain in Mexico. Have you have any more intelligence than I have on this?
Not really. I mean, listen, this is going to be, border security free, probably a deal where there's really nothing of substance that comes out of it. I'm not an optimistic. I think we're just going to be right where we are today. The Democrats want this. Half of the Republicans want the border crisis too, or certainly don't mind it. And there's such a slim majority in the House that, you know, that's weak muscles right there. So it is what it is.
Listen, Rosemary Jenks moved from Numbers USA to her new accountability project because she's had a belly full of that half of the Republicans that have no problem with this. In your dealing with these guys, why do half of the party, and all they do is go back to their districts and run on border security, closing the border, all the happy talk words you have, and they raise money off it, and they get people to walk precincts for them and knock on doors for them. When you're up there, what is their mentality? I mean, what is the mentality of those Republicans that are essentially collaborationists? Because they are collaborationists in the invasion of this country that's designed by these radical no borders, because the radical Democrats don't believe in borders. They believe everybody should be able to come here and be paid for. But what is the attitude? You've dealt with these guys for years. What's the attitude of this? How do they justify it, Todd Bensman?
Well, they usually don't talk about it out loud with, you know, what they're why they're so addicted to this. But I think it's pretty well known that, you know, they like the slave labor. They like the cheap labor. They like the expansion of consumer people who are going to be buying stuff and renting, that sort of thing. And then others are in kind of purpley districts where they're a little bit nervous about the independents and, some of the more centrist Democrats that vote voters in their districts, and they don't want to alienate. So, I mean, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, there are always, we've always had trouble with, especially in the Senate, getting people. I mean, that last round of the bill that, you know, thankfully was killed at the very end there was organized and negotiated by Senate Republicans. And it was absolutely a catastrophic piece of legislation that would have done exactly the opposite of block, stop, and deter, would have incentivized, you know, even more of a mass migration crisis. And those were Republicans. Those are the people that I'm talking about. There's a level of ignorance also about the dynamics of mass migration. I don't think that a lot of those Republicans are really down in the nitty gritty, you know, digging around in the details of what causes and stops mass migration. And they just don't understand. So they were, some of them were easily, tricked into that. I'm giving maybe a little bit of credit there, but I think that there's ignorance and politics and slave labor. Well,
but this it's slave labor. It's no doubt about that. And they want bigger consumer markets. But I want to go back to the top of the show, and I'm going to have Jason Miller on in a second. Yesterday at the Supreme Court and then the Biden regime, they're talking about misinformation, disinformation. The budget, the border proposal that was negotiated over 5 or 6 months by the Senate, when Rosemary Jenks came on here and you came on here, everything we said for months and months and months, but particularly in the closing of the weeks before it actually you saw the text, turned out to be 100% right. Yet they labeled that misinformation and disinformation. Yet it turned out when the text came out, and correct me if I'm wrong, we were absolutely correct of what they had not negotiated but caved on. And they lied about it until we actually saw the text. So that shows you they will sit there in the harbingers of truth, the Rosemary Jenks, the Todd Bensmans, the war rooms will be, oh, no, this is not in there. That's disinformation. You're lying. Just wait for the text. Wait for the text. Then when the text comes out, it 100% backs us up. Is that not correct, sir?
I mean, a great example of that is, you know, the Democrats and these Republicans were boasting about how they were going to shorten the adjudication time for asylum claims from like years to 90 days. But what they didn't put in there is that those claimants had to stay detained for the 90 days. They were going to release them, which does nothing. That means that, I mean, if you have one day of freedom, they're disappeared. So that's just an example of where they just didn't understand the immigrant mind or the incentives that go
Todd, right. you're being too kind. They fully understand what's going on. They don't want them to go through the process. You haven't had your Warpath coffee again this morning, have you?
I do. I've got it right here. But the point is that there was 5,000 a day allowed that they were going to allow in from zero a day that's allowed in right now, from zero by law now to 5,000 a day codified in law with no enforcement provisions. Their enforcement provisions amounted to, well, at a certain point, if the president judges it to be a good time, we're going to close the border. But there's no provisions about what close the border means. Deporting, yes. Detaining, pushing back, nothing like that was in this bill. And so therefore it was meaningless. If you don't have that, you've got zero. You have nothing except 5,000 a day codified.
The power of social media and the power of the show is that in the old days, that bill would come out. You have Lindsey Graham and a couple of guys go on Fox, give you a couple of talking points. That was the strongest bill. As they tried to remember, they tried to get everybody to believe that on CNN and MSNBC, strongest, but even on Fox, strongest bill that's ever been produced. It's getting into the details. You realize they're lying to you. They're actually setting up ways to exacerbate this. Before I lose you, let's talk about Haiti. Haiti, BBC, CNN overnight, they have correspondents there. They're talking about the implosion of Haiti, anarchy, the collapse of law and order. They're teeing up for a massive, I think, insertion of American troops to bring order, but also to start a mass migration here to the United States. Your thoughts?
I agree. I think that some sort of military intervention is inevitable. The world can't just stand by and watch this happen. Somebody's going to do something like that. But how long it's going to take and who's going to do it is still kind of up in the air. And in the meantime, Haitian boats are on the move. There is a blockade. U.S. Coast Guard cutters and U.K. naval vessels in Turk and Caicos, and also in the Bahamas and in the Cuban waters, that are going to try. But there are hundreds of thousands of square nautical miles out there. And so I think we can still expect to see boats hitting the shores of Florida, where Ron DeSantis has assets out there. Border Patrol is moving more assets out there too, probably to process them in like they do at the southern border. And they're preparing Guantanamo Bay for something, unclear exactly what they're preparing it for. But this is going to be political optics problem for the administration. They've got to do something to shut that down, or there's going to be video for the next 6 months and Trump saying, look what he did.
Have you heard right now the Navy has not been deployed like Gates is calling for? Matt Gates is saying immediate Navy's got to be deployed to essentially quarantine it and send people back to Port-au-Prince instead of the Coast Guard as an escort. What have you heard about what's happening to stop a mass migration by sea? Because you're going to have the same exact thing that's happened in the Med with the folks coming in from North Africa into Southern Europe, and what's happening from Calais in France to Great Britain that Nigel Farage, who will be a guest on here later, is fighting. What have you heard? What's your latest?
Well, the fleets are busy, man. They're in the Red Sea. They're in the Mediterranean. They're deployed. And so there aren't that many naval vessels available to kind of do. You're not going to put an aircraft carrier out there for this. They may be forced to in the end. But and the Coast Guard's kind of thin on cutters, man. I mean, they don't have a lot of the Coast Guard doesn't have a ton of assets for this kind of duty. So they're relying a lot on these small island nations out there that really have no national interest in stopping this and taking on Haitians on their territory. I kind of half expect, the Bahamian Navy to and Coast Guard to go, oops, we didn't see those go by. Or, the Cubans are supposedly, they've got their Navy out there too. Oops, we missed a bunch. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But there is a blockade forming, an official blockade forming out there. Listen, it's a 600-mile sailboat ride for, most of these are sail freighters. So, it's going to take a while. I'm sure we're going to see some of them hit.
Todd, we got 30 seconds. Can you give us all your social media? Where do people go to get your books, writings, all of it?
That's right. I've got accounts at Truth Social and Getter. See me there. The book is Overrun, the only book about this particular border crisis. You can get it anywhere books are sold.
Todd, thank you so much. Great reporting as usual. Back with Jason Miller.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at mypatriotsupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
He's created a cult of personality. So now people don't even believe that Joe Biden is president. The numbers are really actually frightening. 36% in a Washington Post poll don't believe that Joe Biden is even the president of the United States. And we're seeing this kind of disinformation really ratcheted up. It was ratcheted up in 2016. It's how he became president. The first time Russia got involved and did it. We're now seeing AI used. What is the risk of disinformation in the upcoming election?
Oh, I think it's enormous, Joy. I think, you know, we've seen these tactics of authoritarians for decades with, you know, repetition and conspiracy theories and big lies and other things. But Donald Trump has something at his disposal that Hitler and Mussolini didn't have, and that's social media, truth social, artificial intelligence. And so I think we are going to be bombarded with all kinds of false claims. You know, the normalizing of violence by talking about bloodbaths, revisionist history by talking about January 6th attackers as hostages. And I worry about even other things. You know, one of the strategies of the corrupt is not to exonerate themselves from their corruption, but to portray everyone else in the system as corrupt. And I fear that's what we're going to see is all kinds of smear campaigns against Joe Biden so that you can say, well, look, everybody's corrupt. So you might as well pick the one who shares your worldview, because if everybody's corrupt, then corruption doesn't matter.
Ask you about Donald Trump increasingly sounding like a fascist, a dictator, mimicking them and using words that are clearly out of the pages of some of the most powerful autocrats or dictators of our time in the world. And I guess the fear is that for some Americans who may not be informed about history, there's that vulnerability that Trump preys upon. And then there are those who are making the choice. And I need to understand that. Is there any precedent? Or is this how fascism works? Are they sucked in and brought in on different terms, whether Trump has something on some Republican leaders or others are just so uninformed they don't care? Is it a mixture? How does it work? Is there a precedent?
Well, I totally agree with what you've just said.
We don't need to hear Besselos. I bring in Jason Miller, the original co-host of War Room Impeachment back in 2019, now the senior strategist for President Trump's campaign. Jason, over the weekend, two big stories, I think one in Politico and one in The Hill. One of them talked about their panic inside the White House because the quote-unquote coalition that got them 81 million votes, in quotes, in 2020 is falling apart, and they're having a tough, and they know they have a tough time pulling this together. The other was this NBC report, which was pretty detailed in its reporting about how Biden's losing it inside the White House, screaming at people, yelling at people, blaming, quite frankly, Israel for his demise. Then today, The Hill had a piece on Georgia, which showed him down on an average of 5.3% of all the polls, but a range of like 5% to 8%. And with the enthusiasm level in the primary being so low, I think it was just barely 200,000 votes, they're totally panicked now in the big battleground states. We curate all this for the audience because, Jason, we could do 2 hours of the show of just curated the highlight reel of MSNBC and CNN absolutely losing it. It's all Trump's a fascist. This is 1932. This is beyond the bounds of anything. There's no facts to back this up. This is all misinformation and disinformation. As the chief strategist has done such an amazing job of President Trump's this historic comeback, what say you, sir?
Well, Steve, this is why shows like The War Room and obviously your genius of leading the War Room posse is so important here, because people need to understand what the Democrats are trying to do. So let me go and unpack it a little bit. When you see a campaign like the Democrats, like Joe Biden, spend all of their time on the personal attacks on President Trump, on the disinformation, misinformation, as you said, going to trying to make it an issue out of a selective edit out of bloodbath, which, of course, he's talking about the U.S. auto industry and Joe Biden's insane EV mandate. When you see those attacks on everything but the issues, Joe Biden can't talk about inflation. Joe Biden can't talk about world peace. Joe Biden cannot talk about having a secure border. Joe Biden cannot talk about the crime and how he's going to make our streets safer. They can only go after President Trump with misinformation and disinformation. Let's think back to Russia, 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 Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. The whole reason why War Room impeachment started back in 2019, the second impeachment hoax, and it continues on even to the lawfare that we see today. Steve, this is their only plan. And it's not just because inflation, for example, is hitting the folks who are viewed as independents, where President Trump is leading between, say, 4 and 14 points, depending on the polling. As you pointed out, it's Biden's own base that's imploding here. Biden is under 50% with African-American voters. He's losing Latino voters to President Trump. He's losing young voters to President Trump. And as you pointed out there, especially, Joe Biden is in a world of hurt right now because he has found a way to unite Jewish Americans, Arab Americans, in thinking that Biden's an idiot who's making the world a less safer place.
How bad they have clearly this the issue set is not going to change between now and Election Day. And if you look at the underlying foundation of those issues, it's not going to get better for Biden. So as you look out strategically, how do you see what do they do? Is it just continue to ratchet up? Is it every day to Election Day? I mean, how do they play their cards?
Yeah, this is going to be every single day. It's going to get worse. And I've noticed a couple of different shifts over the last few weeks, especially since Super Tuesday, when it became very clear that President Trump was going to be the nominee. Of course, we all knew he was going to be the nominee, but there seemed to be kind of a light switch that went off for the media that said, okay, now because Nikki Haley has dropped out, President Trump is going to be the banner carrier as we head into the fall. It's really become unhinged with the media. And they're realizing that, hey, Joe Biden is essentially a broken Roomba at this point. He has no idea what's going on. He's not in charge of anything. As President Trump says, he can't put two sentences together. He can't walk. He can't speak. He's falling down all the time. Putin, Xi, everyone else sees the weakness. The media views it as their job to then go and try to bail out Joe Biden. I think it's going to get worse. And what we saw this weekend, this is a really important point, Steve, that you touched on. The Biden-Harris campaign took a tiny little clip of the bloodbath comment, put it out there, and everyone in the media jumped on it. They didn't even care the fact that there was obviously a full clip, that he's very clearly talking about the auto industry. They see it as their job to help Joe Biden.
In fact, even when you guys did a great job of playing the whole clip, Besser lost to these guys, even Morning Joe, when they came back and said, well, he was talking about EVs, but he pivoted to a much broader. I mean, they try to cover themselves. This thing seems so slapdash. Is it because they had counted so much on lawfare and the lawfare is collapsing around them at every turn? In fact, the U.S. attorneys withholding information, the prosecutors withholding information, the whole thing in New York looks like it could crater. I want to say Citizen Kane over at Citizen Street Press did a magnificent job. If you haven't gone to the stack, see it. You got the judge in Florida, her ruling late last night. Is it because they had depended upon, they couldn't win on the issues, but they thought lawfare would get Trump now that that's collapsing, right? And you've got, you know, Weissman and all those guys whining nonstop. This is why they pivoted to the Trump the fascist.
Yeah. And in fact, Steve, something that hasn't really been reported out in the media is that the Biden campaign had all of the bureau chiefs for the major newspapers and a number of the TV outlets up to Wilmington a few weeks back, actually about a month or so ago. And they laid out basically their pathway to victory. The number one issue was, quote unquote, democracy, which is really, Steve, when you look at it, it's just a morphed version of the 2016 decency argument that Crooked Hillary and her friends in the media tried to come up with. It's kind of morphed into now democracy. That's their number one issue. They don't actually have a real issue that impacts people to go with. And so they're putting all their eggs in this basket, except, as you pointed out, it's completely collapsing. Every poll that's come out recently has Joe Biden only leading President Trump on the issue of democracy by between 3 and 5 points, so roughly within the margin of error. And that's because the Democrats have overreached, not only trying with the federal and these local weaponization of the justice system, but even trying to keep President Trump off the ballot, the whole 14th Amendment case that was ruled on in President Trump's favor by the Supreme Court. So voters are looking, saying, wait a minute, you waited years to bring these lawsuits. You're trying to kick him off the ballot. You guys are censoring free speech. We saw it happen with the laptop from hell in 2020. Actually, you Democrats are the ones who are a threat to democracy. That's why you see at the Trump rallies, we put up the Biden attacks democracy banners to remind people it's Joe Biden who's doing that. So Democrats are in free fall right now. Their number one issue, democracy, is falling apart. And they don't know what to do. They're like, well, wait a minute. We said this was going to be our savior. And actually, it's going to be the albatross because now people realize that actually Joe is crooked.
It's interesting you say that because there was a report the other day that they had done real testing and in-depth polling of the African American community to figure out your thing where it's under, you know, it's getting to be a 50% or less. And democracy, the argument about democracy was the issue that least impacted them. They were about inflation. They're about migrant crime. They're about the lived experience that's taking place every day. I mean, we had Ben Burkwam in Chicago yesterday. I think we've got some more footage of that we'll try to play. It's shocking of the lived experience of African-American citizens, particularly in the inner cities. But democracy had no impact whatsoever. They're going, hey, man, we're seeing democracy every day from Biden, and it's killing us. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Another thing, too, is that Democrats have been taking for granted votes from the Black community, votes from the Latino community, and quite frankly, a number of other communities for so many years, they don't even know how to communicate with these key groups anymore. So say, for example, when Democrats, Joe Biden right now is, you can see all of his advertising, his battleground state visits are all geared towards largely Black communities or Latino communities because they realize that people they usually think will vote for them or that's completely falling apart. But if you go back, Steve, and you remember this from 2020, it's not even just a matter of economics. It's also a matter of things such as ending the endless wars. You know, in 2020, when we were testing out President Trump's second term agenda policy positions, the number one issue that stood out with the African-American community was President Trump's continued pledge to end the endless wars. Because think about who gets sent into the danger zones, who gets sent into harm's way. We saw the three service members who were killed in Jordan, and they put them up on the screen. Yeah. Those are all three African-American faces who were killed for a war or for a battle that people don't even understand. Why do we have U.S. troops there in the first place? And so Biden, he can't go and pull back because otherwise he'll succumb to his globalist allies will freak out on him. Whereas people realize they were better off with Trump economically. Streets were safer, world peace. We actually had a border, didn't have this Biden migrant crime. So it's all falling apart for the Democrats. And they're stuck with Joe. There's no way they can get rid of him. And even if they did get rid of him, they have Kamala.
Jason, where do we go to keep track of you? Where do we go to make this audience even smarter about what's going on in the Trump campaign? What social media sites, et cetera?
Yep, I'm on all the sites at Jason Miller in D.C. You can find me on virtually every platform that's out there. Of course, I tell everyone, keep watching the War Room. Easily the smartest, best educated group of voters who are out there. So love the posse. Good to be back on with you, Steve. And I love hearing from everyone.
Jason, thanks. Let's make sure we pile into Jason's social media today and get him up to speed with what's happening, War Room posse. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return. In the second hour, we're going to have Nigel Farage interviewed the president yesterday. In fact, yesterday was big. Seb Gorka, Sid Rosenberg this morning, Seb Gorka yesterday, and, of course, Nigel Farage. I think we may get a couple of clips of that. Jace Medical, don't get caught short. The CCP controls the entire supply chain of active pharmaceutical ingredients, 100%. They also control about 80% of generics. And the 20% they don't control that, they control through API. JaceMedical.com built up an entire company and system to get you around that. Go immerse yourself in information. JaceMedical.com. Dr. Sean Rowland and the team. Short break. Back in a moment. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room-type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly
in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
So I want to go reset. Also, a couple of things happening. A sheriff in Michigan, I think it's a sheriff in Michigan, sent a four or five page letter to Jim Jordan, pretty detailed about information he has on an investigation he's been conducting. He sent it. He wants to come and give that information to the House Judiciary and also weaponization of government that Jim Jordan's also covering. And we're going to try to get him on later. He can only talk about what's in his letter, but he says he has pretty explosive information. This is about the machines. As you know, I'm not a machine guy. I'm pretty convinced they stole it in 2020 by mail-in ballots and by phony voter rolls. The same type of thing that they're working on now with both mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, and phony voter rolls. But Mike Lindell and his team have really gotten information to me, at least, over the last couple of years that I don't understand why these machines exist, quite frankly. I don't understand why we're using machines, and I certainly don't understand the complexity of these machines, why they're so complex. When if you have machines at all, it should be, to me, like almost the way they count cash in Vegas, something quite simple. So I think Mike Lindell and his team and others have done an amazing job of exposing that. Why are these machines even in the process? Now, this law enforcement official says he has sent information. Another bizarre thing happened yesterday is that one of the lawyers, I guess, working on this was, and it's very unclear exactly what happened, but it seemed like she was arrested by U.S. Marshals either in a courtroom or because she didn't show up at court. It's quite confusing, but one of the lawyers was actually arrested. It just brings up all these types of questions of why all this heavy-handed activity. Anytime you mention machines and you've seen activity in the Attorney General in Michigan, Michigan's obviously a critical state. I've said this and I'll say it over and over again. It is impossible for Joe Biden to win the presidency unless he wins Michigan. Michigan is their Arizona. I keep saying we have to win Arizona. Well, they have to win Michigan. I think just the way the math works out here, they have to win Michigan. And there's something just not right about what's going on here. And so we're going to try to get the sheriff on later. He's tied up right now in some council meetings out in Michigan. We're going to try to get him on. We're going to try to eventually get the lawyer on. We're trying to get as much exposure on this as possible and just find out what's going on. We're not taking one side over the other. But, hey, it seems like that every time you mention this area, there's something else that pops up that just doesn't seem right. Now, Kurt Olson and the team that have gone to the Supreme Court and filed are also telling us we're 24 or 48 hours away from their second drop where they're actually going to give the evidence to back this up, and we will get that in front of you as soon as it's filed appropriately with the Supreme Court. But there's something definitely going on here. Also, I think it's Doug Jones. I want to put something on your radar and make sure it's nailed down. If you go back in 2020, what I talked about all the time, and I was not a guy ever talked about other electors, having Trump electors, because our theory of the case is pretty straightforward, is that you could not certify the election in certain states. The state legislatures who were designated to have this responsibility, there were certain states, like in Pennsylvania, were not going to be able to certify given the fiasco with mail-in ballots and sometimes the unconstitutional nature in the state constitution of the mail-in ballot process. That this would eventually, because you couldn't certify certain states like Georgia, like Arizona, like Pennsylvania, maybe some others, Wisconsin, that this would be kicked into there's a process and a method to deal with that. And that is what's called a contingent election. The contingent election is when it gets kicked to the House of Representatives. And in the House of Representatives, you vote, but you don't vote as individual congressmen. So although it was a Nancy Pelosi House, the vote wouldn't be, it would be by state party delegation. Just like we elect a president by states with the Electoral College, if you went below 270 and therefore you couldn't name a president by the traditional manner, it would kick into the House and you would have a contingent election. You would vote by state party delegation. And at that time, I think it was 27, 23, or maybe 26, 23, and one was a tie. I think Pennsylvania may actually have been a tie. But that would be, Trump would be deemed president because of the contingent election. And I said, and I was pretty adamant about this, this would happen by election day, or excuse me, by the day he was supposed to be inaugurated, that if the process accordingly. Now, I think it's Doug Jones' article. I will get to more of it this afternoon, maybe even the 6 o'clock show or maybe the 5, that they're already talking about the possibility, this is the Democrats of a contingent election. The Democrats seeing lawfare collapse around their stopping Trump. You've seen the hysteria that's in their daily broadcast every day, 24/7. They are now looking to, having been smoked 9-0 in the Supreme Court, about President Trump having access to the ballot. They are working nonstop to see if they can take the House of Representatives by one or two, because as Alex DeGrasse shows you, we're in pretty good shape. Not great, but pretty good to hold it, maybe even add a seat or two. But they have a plan to actually take it and win. And when they do that on January 6th, they have no intention. They're not going to certify that Trump actually can be, because he's an insurrectionist. They're going to certify, although they haven't proven that in court, they're going to say, we can't certify this election because it's insurrectionist. And they're going to go to a contingent election and hope that they win and plan that they win. I'll give you the details. They will win in a count of the states. They are doing everything possible, and they will destroy any law, any custom, any tradition in order to destroy Donald Trump. Don't take it from me. We curate only a couple of minutes every morning here on the show. It is hour after hour after hour after hour. They are normalizing this with their voters, that Trump's a fascist, Trump's dangerous, Trump's a red Caesar, Trump's a dictator. And the rhetoric is getting very, very, very dangerous. And they intend to pull out every stop. If you think what they've tried to do in the lawfare is crazy, that didn't stop them, remember, from filing all this. What they're seeing is a collapse around them. They will stop at nothing to stop Trump. And they need to stop Trump because they need to stop you. Birchgold.com, we are entering an era of turbulence. You need to think through your financial situation. You need to think through how you hedge turbulence. Go talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Birchgold.com/Bannon. It's now time that you make direct contact. Check it out. 90-second break. Nigel Farage is on deck. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us, where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct.
Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit JaceMedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, JaceMedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical, that's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. WARROOM Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. If you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.